What use is the Bible? A question many people are asking today. What is the use of the Bible? It's very good for collecting dust on the shelf. It's quite handy to keep your family tree in the front pages. It's quite good if you need something to just decorate a bookshelf. But what real use is the Bible? That's a good question for us to consider on Bible Sunday. My mind's gone back recently to the terrible events at Grenfell Tower. And maybe you, like me, heard on news programs recordings of telephone conversations made from people within that block of flats to their loved ones, some of them either thinking or knowing that they were very near the end of their life. Rather similar to the phone calls that were recorded at 9/11 from the aircraft that was hijacked. Some of them were from members of staff asking the company bosses to do something to help them, but many of them were from ordinary passengers just wanting to tell their family and friends that they loved them. Very poignant messages. I wonder who you would call in an extreme situation. Who would you phone? Who would you send your last letter to? The Apostle Paul had to make a similar decision. He was aware of his impending execution. He was in yet another prison cell. And he picks up his pen to write one last letter. He chooses to write to young Timothy. He doesn't choose to write to the authorities to protest his innocence and plead for freedom. He has a more urgent priority than survival. He wants to continue mentoring this young church leader, and his letter is full of hope and love. It's well worth reading, Paul's second letter to Timothy. But let's concentrate on the main thrust of the argument. He addresses the letter to young Timothy, but Paul has in mind the future of the whole church. He calls Timothy to hold on to the truth that was passed on to him by his mother and his grandmother. He tells Timothy to be bold enough to preach faithfully, even when that means being unpopular. And he encourages Timothy to fulfill every aspect of God's call on his life. These are instructions that can help all of us, for they emphasize the Bible's importance for all Christians. And today on Bible Sunday, we celebrate the key role which the Holy Scriptures have always, since the time of Jesus, played in the life of the church. What's the use of the church? Paul gives us five reasons why we should take the Bible seriously for ourselves, but also help to make sure other Christians have got a copy of the Bible. Scripture makes us wise for salvation, he says. Scripture brings us into a deeper relationship with God. Scripture helps us to develop and grow as Christians. Scripture equips us for every good deed. And Scripture helps keep us on God's path. I tried to put all that in a nutshell. What I came up with was this. The Bible helps us to wise up, reach up, grow up, put up and keep up. Scripture makes us wise for salvation. Wise up. Chris Kandaya, who wrote some of the Bible Society material for Bible Sunday, tells how as a boy he was inspired by the pearl fishermen who would tie a rock to their feet and then descend 18 metres under the surface of the ocean, looking amongst the oyster beds for pearls. The idea of that is most unattractive to me. But they would hold their breath unaided and without oxygen tanks for a very long time. So as a young boy, Chris would practice in the bath, but he never got beyond 20 seconds before gasping for the air, which was so readily available, but which he had deprived himself of for that short time. I recommend you don't try this at home. Today, the Bible is just a click away on your smartphone or Kindle or computer. I wonder how many printed copies of the Bible you have at home. I have a whole shelf full of different editions. And yet, because it's so easily available, do we undervalue it? Does it become just like the air we breathe, that we take it for granted until we are cut off from it? Perhaps Timothy, too, was in danger of neglecting the Bible or taking it for granted. He had known it since he was a child. So Paul reminds him of his spiritual heritage. Jesus is the one through whom we can be reconciled to God. As Peter proclaimed, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Our salvation is found in Jesus. But how do we find out about Jesus? Through the words of the Bible. Jesus constantly in his ministry referred to the Holy Scriptures that he'd inherited from the Hebrew tradition. He quoted them, explained them, and taught them. The apostles too went about preaching Scripture in Acts chapter 2. And Paul tells Timothy that the sacred writings passed on to him by his mother and grandmother were vital to his faith. We have a challenge here. Any parents or grandparents here? Just like Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, what part do we have in helping our children and grandchildren know and love Jesus through the Bible? Actually, we all have a duty to pass on the Scriptures to those whom we love. It's up to us to inspire people to hear or read the Scriptures so that their minds might be opened to the Gospel. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, the Bible Society does a great job to this end. They provide children's Bible storybooks, like the Seriously Surprising Story. For 12 months in my previous appointment, I was part of an Open the Book team that went into a school every week. Sadly, I always got the part either of Pharaoh or Herod ordering the children to be slaughtered, which was a little bit tedious. However, do you have Open the Book here in Woking, where teams of ordinary church members have great fun acting out scripture stories in school assemblies in the locality? A marvellous ministry, supported by Bible Society. And Scripture brings us into a deeper relationship with God. It helps us to reach up. Anyone here still receive handwritten letters through the post? Do you remember what they are? They come in little envelopes with a stamp in the corner. Yeah? Does anybody here ever write a letter?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, well, somebody must receive them then. Okay. Unless they get lost in the distribution. Anybody ever go through a time when your heart would beat a little faster when the postman came and a letter dropped on the floor and you wondered if it was from the one? Perhaps it was scented. Perhaps it was on nicely coloured paper. And you would read every word. You would look at the way it's written. Had it been written hurriedly or with care? You would analyse every word. What does that mean? What are they trying to imply? Is there one less X at the end than there was the previous week? And without such letters, many a relationship would have floundered in the days before Skype and email and texting. I saw some letters this week in the Imperial War Museum. They were letters written by evacuee children, presumably to their mums and dads, saying how much they missed their parents. And just as those love letters were treasured by many people, and perhaps you have a bundle in the attic tied up with ribbon even now, so those letters, to have survived all this time from World War II, must have been cherished and treasured by the parents who received them. The early church had the same attitude when they received letters from the apostles, guiding them in the faith. And those letters were incorporated into what we now call the Holy Scriptures. Knowing that God breathed on Scripture means that we should cherish it, value it, hunger for it, devour it. And that surely is why the earliest Methodists in Oxford were called Bible moths. Now, moths can be a nuisance if you're getting your winter woolies out at the moment, but a moth has a voracious appetite, and that should be our attitude towards the Scripture. Loving God is the first and greatest commandment. Reading Scripture is a vital part of that. For the more we know God, the more we will love Him. And without regularly listening to God through His Word, we will not grow in our relationship to God. Our reading says that all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired. In Paul's day, the term Scriptures definitely applied to the Old Testament, but if you read Peter's second letter, he refers to Paul's writings as Scripture. And that means the same standards of authority and reliability that were conferred to the Old Testament now apply to the New Testament too. God breathed His Spirit into the words of Scriptures. And through the centuries, devoted Christians have treasured those words, translated them as carefully as they could possibly do, and printed them and passed them on to the next generation. And for over 200 years, the Bible Society has been faithfully translating, printing, and distributing the Bible both here and across the world. I was fascinated to read that the printing press in China has produced over 100 million printed copies of the Bible. That's an awful lot. I guess if you had them all in this church, it would more than fill from the floor to the ceiling. And yet, we're told that this is just scratching the surface of the demand for the Bible, because so many people do want to know God better. I wonder, does the Bible feel dry and dusty to you, or does it captivate you like a long-awaited love letter? To rekindle a love of reading Scripture, here's an idea for you this week. Why don't you think about those passages of Scripture that have really blessed you during different times of your life? And why don't you revisit those passages, perhaps a psalm, perhaps a story from the Gospel? Revisit those parts of the Bible that have really blessed you, and let that whet your appetite for more. And if you're struggling to understand a particular book of the Bible, then if you look online at the Bible Society's The Bible Book Club, then you will find help in understanding every book of the Bible. And you can meet together with your friends, perhaps in a coffee shop or in your homes, and look at the Bible one book at a time. So on Bible Sunday, we have a challenge to reinvigorate our reading of the Bible and to think about how we can help others to have the Bible too. Scripture keeps us on God's path. A writer tells of driving in a thick fog that suddenly fell, and he was crawling along the motorway with fog lights on and making slow progress. He felt claustrophobic, but he realized he couldn't stop because of road safety. He had to keep going. And at that point, the lines painted on the motorway lane actually became lifelines, because he could follow the lane markings 1 yard at a time as they became visible to him. Eventually, he was able to get home safely. And Paul emphasizes the importance of Scripture to Timothy, because he said a time is coming for the church when it will be very difficult to stay faithful to God's path. He predicts a time when, instead of seeking the truth, Christians will let their own desires determine what they hear and will be distracted by false teaching. Paul imagines a time when people will not endure sound teaching but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teacher to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's tempting to judge teaching based on whether we like it or not, but Scripture is the yardstick by which Christian teaching should be judged. In our digital society, we are inundated with fake truth. Yet Scripture is like the lines on a motorway. It keeps us on the right path. So ask yourself, how can you build Bible reading into your daily routine so that you can keep faithful to God on the path of true discipleship? The only reason we can still read Paul's plea to Timothy is because from the beginning the church recognized the Spirit's breath behind his words. We have many reasons to pay attention to inspired Scripture. If we want to be wise for salvation, to draw closer to God, to be equipped to serve God, and to stay faithful to Him. We can easily take the Bible for granted, just like the lines on the side of the motorway, a handwritten letter in the post, or the very air that we breathe. Yet around the world today, too many Christians cannot get a Bible in a language they can understand. If we are to show them love and solidarity, we must make sure they too have the scriptures. There is still a huge need for Bible translation in the world, so perhaps you might consider what part God might be asking you to play in making the Bible more available to them. Thanks be to God. And now Carol is going to lead us in the intercessions.